Where did we leave off?
Well, we were starting to, we were going to walk through this after Habib answered the questions he was assigned last week. I will just focus on the red parts because those are the changes. Remember, these are changes to the legislation.
I believe the last time we had a work session, we cut out a lot of this. Is that correct?
That's what we agreed to. We're cutting out based on what you worked last session.
That's correct.
So the black is what we presented last time, and the red is
yes,
based on discussions since Thursday. So we're proposing to cut out the language, which essentially is the language about how a transmission and distribution utility could own a generator lead line and have ratepayers pay that. We're proposing that gets cut out. We are making, at the bottom of page 2, this is the competitive solicitation section. We're making a small change to the, and this is unallocated language. We're making a small change to the report that the Office of Energy Independence will write. But then if you get to section B, this is still in the competitive solicitation section of the bill. This is a section that Dr. Dagger was just talking about. This is a long-term contract for deep water, more than 10 miles offshore, 25 megawatts or less project, with all the conditions in it that we talked about last time. Last time you heard from John Furland from Ocean Renewable Power, who requested that we consider putting a tidal power provision in here, which we have done. They would still, which would raise the total megawatts for 5 megawatts, up to 5 megawatts for tidal, 25 for wind, but the price, the rate impact language stays the same, so the combination can still not drive the rates up higher than what we outlined last time. There's some clarifying language in here, but that basically there's nothing new compared to what we talked about last time. Senator Mills had proposed an amendment, and we tried to marry the language of our amendment and his amendment. That's the competitive solicitation piece.
Representative Inley.
If you might, the language there confuses me a little bit. Where, please help me out again. Maybe
yep.
I just got my brain wrapped around it. But it says, other than that produced by deep water, offshore wind, and or tidal power. So maybe you just explained it, but I'm still not getting
yep.
it.
No, The report that the Office of Energy Independence will do and come back here with is what should an RFP for projects in state waters look like. And then the RFP section B is really federal waters. It's more and deep water, deep federal waters more than 10 miles. So the report will be reflecting on state waters.
And then in B, we are actually looking at, the whole thing is deep water.
B.
Right.
Right.
And then later we're going to talk about the
and tidal.
Tidal.
Well, B, tidal was incorporated into B.
Oh, okay.
So it's RFP for up to 25 megawatts of deep water wind or and up to 5 of tidal. That would be the RFP, would be issued relatively soon, September 1 of this year.
Okay. Just to go back to that, Beth.
A
is a recommendation from OEIS in state waters. Now, is that just related to tidal? Not the wind.
The tidal power could be, it will be in state waters. The tidal power will be in state waters.
So A isn't really talking about a competitive solicitation report for wind, because I thought we were only going way out for wind.
It's talking about a report coming back to you about how to move forward in the future with an RFP in state waters, and what factors should you consider if you were going to issue an RFP in state waters?
For wind?
Or tidal.
But
or tidal. Wave.
But my understanding, and this is where I'm probably off, but I thought we were going to leapfrog the coastal state waters.
Right.
Principally, right? The 3 miles.
And that's what Section B does.
Right. But yeah. I guess I'm asking, why do we need a report back for wind and coastal waters if that really isn't what we're going to do? I could understand wave. Maybe I could understand tidal. I'm just trying to understand the connection to the whole concept of leapfrogging to the deep water far out technology in the deep water, because of the potential issues we thought we were going to run into with less than 3 miles because of the same view and so forth.
Well,
now there may be a change, but I just haven't caught up with it.
No, it's an excellent question. We did not understand that we were writing off forever development in state waters, and we left open the question, and we directed the Office of Energy to explore it further. This bill, however, does not push any development in state waters forward. The RFP would, except for tidal. The RFP is for more than 10 miles. Is that okay? That's what it does. Well,
tell me.
Just want to try it?
Yeah. I mean, just a minor clarification on Part B. The criteria for issuing the RFP speak to how far from land and speak to water depth and things of that nature. There may be small areas that are in Maine's coastal waters that meet those criteria. It's primarily, the generation would primarily be in federal waters in order to meet those criteria. But there may be, if it's 300 feet in depth, 10 miles from an uninhabited island, or 10 miles from whatever else, from land.
Sure.
There might be small slivers of Maine's, just given the nature of the coast and the variations you get from islands that meet those criteria. But those areas, as we understand it from a quick mapping exercise, are quite limited. It wouldn't necessarily be exclusively federal waters.
I think it's important to be clear on that. The OEIS.
Understood. But that was the first point. It wouldn't necessarily be exclusively federal waters. Secondly, in terms of the Part A, the contract recommendation to you about terms and conditions, that was really an outgrowth of the original bill. The original bill was talking about an RFP for any kind of wind energy, essentially. This converts that into basically getting back to you with advice on how you might want to think about issuing an RFP for other things other than the deep water wind to which you're leapfrogging and tidal. It would be purely informational for you, to stuff to think about and perhaps address in the future.
I mean, obviously, Representative Fletcher, if it's the will of the legislature that Maine would never issue an RFP in state waters, within the 3 miles, then you're right, there's no need for a report and recommendation. I didn't hear that was a clear consensus, so we left it in.
It's running late. I don't want to take a lot of time on it, but I think it's going to be very important for us to clarify that, because if our intent is possibly to do it in state waters, I think there's a whole group of stakeholders who would want to know that. If our intent is to be 10 miles out in deeper water, which is not state waters, I think it's important to know that. That's the other question that I think I'll have to have answered, and it's probably just because it's getting late, but this report comes back January 15th of 2012. This is the report on what you should consider. Yet, on page 4, the commission must issue the solicitation for a long-term contract in this paragraph by September 1st of 2010. So if the report in 2012 is important to understand to how you're going to put out the RFP, it sounds like we're putting out the RFP before we've determined the report back. Now, that may not be important. It just seems it's out of sync. We should know what we want to have in the RFP conditions before we put it out, I would think.
Well, the RFP is very specifically spelled out in the bill, and it is, as Todd clarified, it's what you're leapfrogging to. The Section A, the report, is really the bigger issue of what happens in shallow water.
Okay. Or wave, conceivably, or other forms of ocean energy. It's information for you to consider.
Right.